praise the Lord for this beautiful Lord's Day. Amen. So glad that you're here today. Brothers and sisters in Christ from all over the area, not just Princeton, coming together, lifting up our voices, unifying spirits together to praise our Lord God Almighty. Amen. Will you stand with me as we sing the doxology?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let earth and heavenly saints proclaim the power and might of His great name. Let us exalt
deeds. Praise be to His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen.
It's good hearing you sing this morning, church. Keep it going. Worship with all that you have. He is worthy of our praise.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
Amen. One of my favorite songs coming up. Brandon's going to kick us off here on the drums. Same power. The same power that rose Jesus up out of that grave. The same power is available to you and I today. Because he has redeemed us. He has set us free. He set us apart. He has set a course for us to live victorious. Not perfect, but victorious in Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this together. During this week coming up, tell him he's not going to win. Tell the Lord, not my strength, but Lord, through your power, I want to live victoriously over this situation. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Y'all pray with me. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord. I thank you for our faith family and our guests here today that's come together just to proclaim the blessings and the glory of our Lord and Savior. We love you, Father. Minister to us as we worship through song and through the reading and preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. 30 years ago, I had a pastor, and he meant this in love, and he wasn't criticizing at all. He said, Charles, sometimes you're like a cheerleader up there on the platform. And he wasn't being critical. He said, take this, you know my heart. I'm not trying to get you to dampen down. Sometimes I get excited being in God's house. Amen. And just singing and worshiping him and these songs that are so encouraging. I love the hymns of our faith that are so rich in theology. I love the songs that are available now too that are so rich in theology and so encouraging to us, and that they move me. The Lord moves me through these songs. I'm so glad that you sing and you worship from the bottom of your hearts, I guess from the bottom, the soles of your feet. I enjoy worshiping with you. If you're our guest today, thank you for braving the weather and coming out and joining us today. If you have not torn off that Connect card and filled it out, we appreciate if you'd do so and take that to our welcome center as you're leaving out. Our greeters have a wonderful gift for you, and just thank you for being here. This afternoon, church, we do have our Faith at Work conference, and we have some handouts back there, some information sheets back there on this table as you exit out. It's three different sheets. If you get those and look over those before the meeting, that is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Have you noticed it's cold outside? And I see some guys, some ladies with short sleeve shirts like me, and it's nice. It's comfortable, isn't it? It is. So, yeah. And some of y'all bundled up. My girls were always bundled up. They'd bring a blanket here and cover up. But we're so glad that you're here. If by chance you run into a need at your home because of the inclement weather, would you call? We have two numbers here in your bulletin. We have men ready to come and assist you. Praise the Lord for our men and their willingness to minister to the body of Christ. So if you have a need, please call one of those numbers. And I'm so glad, Kathy, you didn't put my number in there because I'm cold. Now, we love you, church, and we have a lot of people that love you and wish to love one another and reach out to one another. This Wednesday night at 6:30, we've had Kids Club for quite a few years. We used to have children's choirs, and then we changed to Kids Club probably 12, 14 years ago, and it's a ministry on Wednesday nights. We have some wonderful, wonderful volunteers serving your children. We are starting with a pre-K class. So bring your children, 3 years old to 5 years old, and then the other classes will meet all the way up to fifth grade. And so this is on Wednesday night over in the other building in the gymnasiums where we'll meet. And so get the word out. We're wanting to grow this ministry. We're wanting to grow every ministry to that fact, but that's this Wednesday night. Also, we're having our Exploring Faith luncheon 2 weeks from today. If you've been our guest and worshiping with us and you'd like to know more information about our church, we have a luncheon that we'd like to invite you to over in the other building coming up in 2 weeks. Please let us know. Call the office and let us know. We'd love to have you join us. Next Sunday, we'll have an informative meeting about our upcoming Costa Rica mission trip. That's this coming Sunday. If you've not gone and you're new and you'd like to hear some more information about that, right down here next Sunday, we'll have a short meeting just to share more information. I was so glad to hear from my wife yesterday when she came home, and spending the day up here at church with other ladies and sisters in Christ. And what a wonderful blessing the Esther study was. And ladies, were you blessed by that? Women's ministry, thank you so much for all that you do and leading out and planning and organizing and your prayer time and seeking the Lord and all these things. So it's always good to come together and study God's word together. If you're not in a Bible study, Stan and I look at the attendance reports for our Bible study classes on Sunday morning. We're just so encouraged. He and I are both so encouraged to see the attendance growing and growing. More and more of you are involved in a Bible study class. If you're not, let me encourage you to do so. We were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 today, and just what a blessing going through Paul's epistles and his letters to these churches. God's word is so rich, isn't it? have so fresh. We have so much to learn and to gain from. Let's stand and sing again. This is an older song, Everlasting God. Sing this as a testimony as well. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Seated.
the everlasting God. This year, since we're starting a new year, I'd been thinking about how God makes all things new. There are so many verses in God's word that talks about the newness that God brings. And today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43. There are so many good verses that talk about newness, but I kind of wanted to hit this one. It kind of hit me a little hard. By the way, how many of y'all are hoping for snow tonight? No. Or ice? Okay. Ice or snow? The kids, they pray for snow or ice. They don't care because it'll shut the school down and they'll get a snow day. You know, yeah, here in Texas, you know, if we get a half inch of ice, they shut everything down. Yeah, I see Richard over there. He just moved here from Alaska and he's like, really, you know? And but I did wear my lucky snow socks today, you know. I like to have a day off, you know, and I really like when snow comes. Becky and I talk about this a lot. She's always loved snow. She's never lived in a place where we got a lot of snow. I think if we got a lot of snow or we lived in a place where we got a lot of snow, it'd be like, no, I'm through with this, you know. But, you know, it's just so picturesque when the snow comes down and covers all the, you know, right now our yards are just dirt, right? Mud, mace, because we've had some rain. And so when the snow covers it, though, you look out the window. Man, that's what I'm hoping for. We look out the window tomorrow morning, and it's just covered in white. We got a little video from our daughter up in Portland. They had that happen last night. And so they woke up, and Poppy, our little 2.5-year-old, is looking out the window. It's all covered with snow, you know, and got the picture of them out in the snow. So that's what I'm hoping for. And here's something I don't think God minds when his people pray against one another in these kind of situations. You know, it's one of those that, you know, Richard's maybe praying, oh, yeah, let's keep going, you know. Some of the rest of you may be praying, let's shut it all down. I think God can sort out those kind of prayers when we're talking about, Lord, this is something I'd really like to see. And somebody else may be praying for the opposite. One thing I quit doing a long time ago, back when I was in junior high, because I just got a conviction about it. I cannot pray that the Cowboys win today. You know, because there's going to be other people praying that Green Bay wins today. You know, it's kind of, yeah. Okay, I didn't mean to cause a revolt. We're here to worship people. Anyway, so it's one of those things. A lot of times we pray about stuff that is really trivial in the whole scheme of things. I mean, because even if the Cowboys go on to win a Super Bowl this year, I've lost control already on this one, this group. But even if they did, it starts all over again as soon as that's over, right, Don?
And those who pray the
those that pray the hardest win. See, here's the deal. When we're talking about all things new, remember last summer we went through Ecclesiastes? And what was the message of Ecclesiastes about newness? Under the sun, S-U-N, there's nothing new. I mean, the Cowboys have won a Super Bowl. It was like 3 centuries ago. I'm just kidding. But there's a newness. Somebody's going to win it this year. Somebody's going to win it next year. If time keeps going along, you know, there's nothing new about Super Bowls. There's really not a whole lot of new under the sun. In fact, God's word tells us there's nothing new under the sun. The same struggles you're going through. Now, you may have electronics that a former generation didn't have to help magnify it on social media when you're having struggles or something like that. But it's the same struggles that Adam and Eve had. It's the same struggles that everyone in the Old Testament had. He says there's nothing new. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us there's not even any new temptations coming to you. The only temptations that come are the ones that are common to man, and God is always faithful to provide us a means of escape if we'll keep trusting in him. So really, when it comes down to our lives, there's nothing new here. Now, when it comes to the S-O-N, the Son of God, under the Son, he makes newness every day. And so I just, this year as we were starting a new year, I just thought, man, I want to look at some of those passages because, when I was an adult, I've told you before, the first memory verse I can remember learning in vacation Bible school as a child was Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And that helped me through so much of my life, still does. Helped me with my children to teach them that we can trust God in the midst of our fears. The first verse I remember learning as an adult when I was in college, we started going through some discipleship material by the Navigators. And one of the things that you did was you learned new memory verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I still remember that from my freshman year in college. That was hidden deep in my heart to know that God wants to do new things. But only God can do new things. So often we're trying to make God fit into our mold to say, "Hey, God, I want some new things in my life." And then we tell him what those new things are. You ever do that? You know, you say, "God, whatever you want to do, I want some newness and freshness in my life. Now, here's what you ought to do to bring that." God didn't answer that unless it's fitting and it's him putting that in your heart. What God would rather do, and this is... This goes against human wisdom. I think this year we need to pray a prayer, "Whatever it takes, God, you do it." All the time I hear people talking about, "Hey, make sure you don't pray for patience. Because if you pray for patience, God's going to send trials and tribulations. He's going to let your troubles magnify, because that's how you build patience, by going through and in the midst of it." And I've said that before. I said, be careful about, praying for patience, because God may make you go through a lot of things so you can develop and he can build that fruit of the Spirit within you. Well, man, if I've ever told you that, I'm sorry. Because God doesn't want you going through trials. God wants you enduring the trials so that he can make you Christ-like. Yeah, and I was thinking about that. Now, you hear what I'm saying, right? Because I do believe God plans trials and struggles and everything for us to strengthen us. It's not about the trials. He doesn't care about the trials. It's about the strength. It's about the becoming Christ-like. It's about the holiness. It's about being set apart for Christ. And so sometimes he uses all these things. Sometimes he spanks us with discipline. Sometimes he just puts a Bible teacher in your path right at the moment that you need to hear a word from the Lord, and that Bible teacher, and you're able to grow from it. But the thing is, do we despise when God doesn't do it the way we want him to? And that's why I wanted to start with Isaiah 43. Before we start about all the new things that God can do, and we start reading some of these passages about God making his mercy new every morning. Don't you love that passage? Lamentations 3. And when we talk about the new creation of 2 Corinthians 5, or that he'll renew our strength, like that song we just sang, that Isaiah tells us we'll renew our strength like eagles, and we'll walk and not get weary. We'll run and not grow weary, and walk and never faint. About the new commandment that he gave to us. By the way, what is the new commandment? Love one another. You get an A+. So, the new heavens and the new earth. Aren't you excited about those? We think about that in Revelation 21 and 22. Do you know Isaiah talked about the new heavens and the new earth? A lot. The new covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. And new wineskins that we don't put old stuff into. And so we're going to be talking about these over the next couple of months, some of these new passages. But I wanted us to look in Isaiah 43, and it's a long passage, not super long, but we'll have you out of here before the snow rolls in at 3 in the morning. I promise that much. The people were praying, God, do something. Make life better. Accept our gifts and our offerings. Do what you, except for they wouldn't pray that prayer, whatever it takes. Do whatever you want to, but God answered it in that way. And he said, I'm going to do something new. But throughout the prophets and Isaiah 100 years before it happened, Jeremiah in the midst of it and other prophets through the heart of it and the end of it, it was always, it's not going to be something you're going to be pleased with. But it's going to produce in you something brand new that's precious and wonderful. And it's going to be for my glory and for your good. Do you trust me? And so this year, I'm praying for new things that God wants to do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, whatever it takes, do in us what you desire to do and what you desire to see. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at this chapter, and we're just going to go part by part. And so we're going to start there in verses 1 through 7. And so if you've got your copy of God's Word, just keep it open. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Follow along in your copy of God's Word. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. And since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. Turn to me, pages. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Man, isn't that a great way to hear God start his speech to us? And one thing, you know, we're talking about newness. There's nothing new here. Right? There's nothing new about a God choosing us and loving us and honoring us. That's from the very beginning. God says, I will create man in my own image. And he desires that fellowship. And even when man sins and falls from him, he said, I'm still going to pull you back and I'm going to send a redeemer someday that's going to crush your enemy underfoot. And I'm providing for you. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see God working to bring men back to him, even though we strayed from him. And so there's nothing new here about God choosing us, loving us, and honoring us. And then he says there in verse 5, and do not fear, for I am with you. By the way, if you don't hear anything else today, hear that verse. What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. And I have nothing to fear because he's with me. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what happens around me, no matter what, if the whole world looks like it's going crazy, which most frequently it does. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do you know that? Do we know that? As Christians, do we know that the God Almighty, the great I am, is with us always? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know that? Do you know that you know that. Because right here in Sunday morning, as we're sitting in a worship center, it's easy to say, yes, I know that. God is so awesome for being with me. But when you're out there tomorrow morning at work or wherever it might be, and there's an argument that you're having with one of your loved ones, and you just seems like everything's about to fall apart in your relationship, and yet you can still say, but Lord, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. When there are things happening at school, it looks like everyone has turned against you. All of your friends have forsaken you because maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, or maybe they didn't like something that you stand for. Are you willing to say, but whatever comes, Lord, I know you are with me. I will not be afraid. You're hurting and you've been looking for jobs or looking for the next answer and you don't know where it's coming from. Are you willing to, in the midst of that, say, I will not fear, for I know that my God is with me? See, there's nothing new about that. But are we treasuring that in our hearts? There's also nothing new about us being called by God's name and created for his glory. Did you see that in verse 7? Everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, whom I've formed, whom I've made. God's not going to forsake you because he made you. He loves you. You ever had something that you made? Like, how many of y'all took art classes where you made pottery or paintings or something like that? Do you ever go back and look at those? Like, now let's talk about Remedio. I'm not talking about Noah that makes great works of art or anything. But do you ever go back and look at something you made when you were, you know, I don't know. Some of you may even have ornaments that you hang on the tree every year that your kid made when they were young. Maybe they have a handprint on them or something like that. And your kid says, why do you keep putting that on the tree? That's so ugly. And you say, no, that's beautiful because you made that for me. See, God is saying, listen, I formed you. I made you. I know you and I love you. And you're a work of art in my hands. Do you know that? Do we know that? See, that's nothing new to know. These are things we already know. And this is not the new part. He said, this is who I've been from eternity. In fact, he says in verse 1, did you notice that too? He says, I've called you by name and you are mine. And so he looks and he knows us personally. He says, Matthew, I've called you by name. Matthew, I knew who I was calling when I called you. And I formed you. I already had made you, but I knew exactly who you were when I called you. I didn't make a mistake when I called you. And then look in verse 7, though. He says, everyone who is called by my name. He called you by your name to bring you to him. Now he calls you by his name. This is my child. This is Matthew Christian. This is Matthew, son of God. He says, look, I called you by name. I didn't make a mistake. This is not new. This is from eternity past and eternity future and eternity present. He called you by name, and now he says, but now I've called you by my name. You're mine. So I hope, man, as we're going into this, you'll say, yeah, I want to rejoice in the God who is with me and for me. Isaiah, the verse 8 through 13, he goes on to say, bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses so that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? I love that part. I act, and who can reverse it? If I decide to do something, who's going to stand against me? Doesn't that say that in Romans 8? Man, if you're having a down day or a down week or a down century, you know, go to Romans 8 and just read again how Paul brings all of this. That, again, this is not new, how he brings it all back again to, if God is for me, who can be against me? For we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so there's nothing new here either. So we're talking about this passage in this series is going to be all things new, but there's nothing new here. Our God is a healer. He says, bring out the deaf and the blind. You know, even the ones who have ears and have eyes and should be able to hear and see, just bring them all to me because I can bring healing. I'm the only God. And you notice too, he says it was not formed either. There may be people who try to create their own gods with their own hands later on, but he says there's no God that's going to be created that way. And by the way, in your lives, you'll have a temptation to create your own God. Most of us see him when we look in the mirror. We seek to rule our lives on our own, and we are not equipped for it because there's only one God. But there's all throughout history, there's nothing new about man trying to build their gods in their own image. And today they're shinier and more sophisticated and more electronic, but they're still false gods. I'll tell you how we know that there are false gods being formed, created in this day and age. You know, we look at people who made little cutouts of wood creatures and stuff, and we say, how silly. You know, they put that up on their mantle thinking that was a God who was bringing them blessings, and we think, how silly is that? But yet, if you talk to young people today, what have they been taught all their lives that they ought to be striving after? Find a good job that'll provide you enough money to be comfortable and secure. How many of you have fallen into that same trap of, if I can just get a good enough job or good enough income, I'll be secure and I'll feel, maybe I can even get a good enough job where I can retire at 50 and be just live it up the rest of my life. You have fallen victim to a God of somebody else's making. The American dream is often just another cover for false gods. See, we know that to be the case too. Again, this is not new. How many people have you known in your lifetime, and you've maybe have experienced this as well, that had a successful career or successful job and were building that income, and suddenly sickness hits the family? And their doctor and the hospitals and everything else takes away all of that security they had. How many of you have known people who have come up in their jobs and been very successful, and suddenly somebody out of college costs less to the company? And they say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. How many times have we seen our loved ones saying, if I can just get to retirement age, then I'll enjoy life, only to retire and 2 weeks later find out they have pancreatic cancer that's going to take them in a week. Now, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. I'm trying for us to realize that there's nothing new about serving a God who is, a God who is eternal, a God who cares, a God who can do things. He says, I'm the only God. I'm not equaled. There's nobody that can rise up against me. He said, there's nobody else can save you. None of the other world religions have a God who can save. Only the true God can save, and he can only deliver the way that he declares is true and right. We've got to follow after him. He says, and I'm from eternity. I've seen it all. Everything you're going through right now, I have the wisdom to help you through it. Parents, don't you sometimes wish you could just do that Freaky Friday thing and jump into your kid's body for a moment and let them see what this pathway is going, and suddenly they'll say, you mean my mom actually was right about something? Yeah, you mean my dad actually knows what he's talking about, that this path may be a dead-end path? You know, we wish that all the time. We have a God who's from eternity. I understand how to help my 3-year-old grandson know that it's not the end of the world when it's time to go to bed. You know, there's going to be a new day tomorrow and everything else. In fact, someday you'll enjoy going to sleep, you know? We serve a God from eternity that's experienced and seen it all and seen how everyone has reacted to it. He sees how Satan tries to prevent you from the joy. He sees it all. And we have this eternal God who's powerful, and yet we think we've got to figure it all out ourselves. You know, unrivaled power. I like that phrase. God has unrivaled power. So, again, nothing new here. But are we building our lives upon it? Well, let's move on to that next part. Verse 14 through 19. He says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I've sent to Babylon and will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King, thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I'll even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So something new is coming, right? He's saying, I'm going to do something, but we're not going to talk about the new thing yet. We're still talking about the old things, the things, the eternal truths. And one of my favorite phrases is, God acts for his glory and our good. Verse 7, did you see that? In verse 7, he says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory. If God's called you by name and called you to his name, he's created you so he can receive the glory out of your life. And see, a lot of times I think about that as, so if I live a successful Christian life, or like even some of the football players during the playoffs have said, look, I'm a quarterback in the NFL, but I live to please my Lord Jesus Christ, and use that platform to glorify God. And that's a really cool thing and everything. And so a lot of times I think of that, him receiving glory, is that he received glory when I do something good for him and people see it and they say, oh, it's because he serves Jesus. But you know what? I'm coming to the realization that I've set my sights too low. Yeah, we should live godly lives. We should exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because when people see those things in our life, God is glorified, Jesus is magnified, and people are drawn to Christ. That's good, and that's wonderful, and that's what we ought to be doing. But there's this other part, and it goes back to when we were looking at some Christmas things in Colossians. Just the fact that you have trusted God without seeing him gives him glory. Just the fact that you're here because you believe that God is the Almighty God and he is worthy of worship brings him glory. And see, he doesn't need the glory. It's not to build him up, but it does show all of his enemies that he is God, because he took a ragtag group of dirt people and made them living sons and daughters of God. That brings him glory in and of itself. You trusting Christ and walking in God's family brings him glory. It shows Satan that he can't defeat the faithful. It shows all the demons and the enemies of God that his glory reigns over everything they've tried to do to destroy all of mankind. And it shows all of those who are lost, there is a God who moves in people. And so, again, that's nothing new. We get glory, we give glory to God, but then also for our good. And verse 14 is the part that really drew me to this passage. For your sake, and at this point he says, I'm going to bring Babylon down. I love how he says, I am the Lord. By the way, in our language, it would be, I am. Because the Lord, when you see it capitalized that, like that in your translations, it's the covenant name of God, Yahweh, which means I am, I always am. I am the God who is. The I am before it is just an extra I am. He said, basically, me, myself, and I. I am the great I am. And then I'm your holy one. I'm the creator of Israel. I'm your king. He just states it out. Look, this is who I am for you. But he says, I'm acting for my glory. I created you for my glory, but it's also for your good, because he says there in verse 14, for your sake I've sent to Babylon. Now, the prophets tell us that God always tells Israel, I'm going to do something to you and for you. It's for your sake. It's for your good. But it's not something you'd ever imagine. I'm going to send the Babylonians in to destroy you, to wipe you out. We're going to find out why at the end of the chapter. But he said, I'm just going to have to wipe out everything you're putting your trust in. You're putting your trust in your national security. You're putting your trust in your history, the former things. You're putting your trust in false gods because others seem to be more powerful than us right now. So you're thinking maybe if we build a Babylonian altar that we might be better off. You know, you're putting your faith in all these other things. Well, guess what? I'm going to do something that you never would have dreamt. I'm going to bring a foreign army who does not worship me in to destroy my people and destroy. And when they came to destroy, they destroyed the whole temple. Not one stone left on another. Now, let me go back to the very beginning. Are we willing to pray whatever it takes, Lord? You know, it's hard. It's hard for me to. Because what if whatever it took was a national disaster? For God's people to truly say, I need Jesus and only Jesus. What if whatever it takes was sickness? What if whatever it took was an end of comfort as we know it? Sometime if you want to, you can go back and read the history of when the Babylonians came in and took Israel captive. Some of it's in the prophets, some of it's in some of the other historical books. They drug people away naked, in chains. They killed children in front of their parents just to inflict the most agony they could. What do you think? You want to pray that prayer? Whatever it takes. See, and part of that depends on our outlook of who God is. Is he eternal? Has he chosen us to reflect his glory? And is everything he ever allows in our life for our good? Do we believe that? Those are not new things. Those are the things the Bible declares from Genesis to Revelation and beyond, that God always works for his glory and our good. Do we believe that enough to say, okay, God, I'm putting myself in your hands, and I trust you, whatever it takes, I'm going to be yours, I'm going to declare your praises in the midst of it. Because that's what he says. Listen, don't call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Have some of you had some really wonderful times with Jesus in your life? I mean, if you're here and you're over 6 years old, you've probably had wonderful times with God. If you're over 16-year-old, I know that you've had some wonderful times with God. If you're in your 60s and 70s, you've had wonderful times with God. Some of the former things were just things that you still hold dear and still bring a tear to your eye when you share them with somebody. But he said, don't hold on to the former things, because God wants to do new things in our lives all the time. He's the only one that can bring something new, and he wants to bring newness to our life every day. Man, he says, behold, I will do something new. It'll spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? This in verse 19, he said, and then he talks about making roadways in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, even the beasts in the field will glorify me, the jackals, ostriches, because I've given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. And you remember, he did that in the Exodus. But what he's saying is, don't just serve God because he did wonderful things in the past. Don't just serve God because you have a history with him. Because God wants to do new things in your life. He said, the people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. So here's the deal. Throughout the whole Bible, God says, sing a new song to the Lord. And so that means we can't sing any of the old songs, right? We got to sing new songs. Is that what it means? But see, it says when God does new things, we declare his praises. You see, you can sing Amazing Grace as an old song, or you can sing Amazing Grace as a new song, because suddenly you start thinking what he did for you last week, that I was a wretch to my husband or my wife, and yet he brought grace to my life and she forgave me. That I said something really stupid at work and got myself in all sorts of trouble and got all sorts of people crossways, but even though I was a wretch, he saved me because he's granted me favor in there as I apologize to him. It may be through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, and you think back to last week when you were driving down the highway and you still don't know how that 18-wheeler missed you. Or they ran you off the road, but you landed in a ditch without hitting a thing. Or you hit a thing and you're still here to tell about it. See, sometimes worship gets boring to God's people because we forget that the songs we sing are supposed to be new songs every time. Every time we come together, it's, God, yes, thank you for doing that. Thank you for this truth about who you are and what you do. Thank you that you helped me have a good conversation with my child last week that didn't end up with a hang up of the phone. Thank you for the way that you're moving. Thank you that you gave me a new understanding when I was reading God's word this week about how precious it's going to be when we get to heaven. You know, all those things that God's doing every day, we bring them in here and we sing a new song to the Lord. And God is saying, they're declaring my praises. The world didn't want anything to do with a Jesus that was only alive in 1957. Or was only alive in the 1700s, or only alive in 33 BC. or 3380. The world needs to know that we're declaring his praises because he's alive today. And he's doing things in my life today. And he's making a difference in the way I live, the way I think, the way I just love to walk with him. Whatever it takes, Lord, help me see that every day. So we need to be declaring his praises. And real quickly, as we're closing, the last part of it shows that they didn't do it. I mean, listen to what God says about what Israel was doing. They were still having sacrifices. They were still having times in the temple. They were still having Sabbath worships and festivals and everything. But he says in verse 22, "Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you've become weary of me, O Israel. You've not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I've not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me not sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifice. Rather, you've burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with your iniquities. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. Your first forefathers sinned, and your spokesmen against me have transgressed against me. So I will pollute the princes of the sanctuary, and I will consign Jacob to the ban and Israel to revilement." He said, you know, and by the way, there were sacrifices going on, but God said, none of these are coming to me. You know, you don't pour out your heart to give back to me and to sacrifice to me. You're not trying to know me. I'm the one that forgives you of your sins and your transgressions, but you're holding on to all this other stuff instead of desiring me. And he said, basically what we looked at in Isaiah 1, I wish you'd just shut the doors. The problem is there's nothing new about man's typical response to God. Instead of delighting God with worshipful service, we do the opposite. We burden him with our sins and weary him with our iniquities. See, God wants to do new things so that he can be praised and draw men to himself. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he was talking about the cross, but he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. If we will start living like he's the only thing that's important, we'll start seeing brand new things going on all around us. And there will be people being drawn, not to us, but to him. Are you being faithful in your time with the Lord? Are you faithful to worship him wholly? Are you faithful in your tithes and offerings? Not sacrifices, but stewardship. We used to always say the three T's that we need to give back to God, our time, our talent, and our tithes. I was thinking of another one, togetherness. God calls us to a body. Are we faithful to loving one another and being together as a people? I want you to see the next slide, and then we'll close. It's 2024. I don't know what God wants to put in there for you. I don't know what he wants to put in there for us, but I see God moving in a lot of people's lives. And are we willing to pray hard prayers of whatever it takes, Lord? Don't let me slow down till I get right to you. Will we seek the newness God wants? Or just go about status quo? Every day. Change is hard, by the way. We all know that. None of us like to have to change. But God works change into newness. I'm just so appreciative of the ministry, the ladies' ministry team, and them seeking to draw ladies closer to Christ. And that I was got to come through here yesterday and see them up here serving and studying about how they're created for such a time as this. We all are. But we're not created just to sit here. We're created for God to do wonderful new things through us so that he can be glorified and draw men to himself. Man, we need to be people who are quick to confess our sins and to repent. And by the way, repentance of sin means placing righteousness in its place. I don't think I've shared that enough. That when you realize there's a sin in your life and you're giving it up, you've got to replace it with something of Jesus. Or else there's this empty hole that seven more demons will come climb into. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. You know, so replacing those things that maybe had been sin in your life with things that God is drawing you to. And he'll show it to you. Serve wholeheartedly. Share Christ with your neighbors and coworkers. Pray for an opportunity to get to share and declare a praise about God this day, every day. Teachers, study and share the word of God when they come to Sunday school on Sundays or Wednesday nights. Sing joyfully. Man, I loved hearing y'all sing today. Just singing about our everlasting God. You know, one of the things that last week told us, and one of the things this week tells us, a lot of people don't like cold weather. Last week, it was a little bit more crowded in here. Some of you may need to start moving to the middle just so more people can come in. There are so many. I pray that all our ministry teams this year will seek to minister. Don't wait for somebody to call you. If you've been asked to serve on a ministry team, you call those people and say, what can we do to make sure that we're reaching out to others and make sure that God is allowed to do amazing things through us? Whatever it takes, what does God want to do? That's your 2024. Nothing new about God, but he wants to do some amazing new things in you this year. And why? He says it's not about the former things or pondering the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? You know, some of the takeaways that I had for this, and I don't know about you, but the one truth that I've always keep close to me, God always acts for his good and our glory. I mean, for his glory and our good. We generally act the opposite direction. Yeah, but God always acts for his glory, our good. Only God can bring newness. There's no other gods. There's nothing you can do new. But God can bring new. And he says, be aware of it. Won't you recognize it when I do something new? Because we are called to declare his praises. Sing a new song every day. Every day, notice something that God is doing in your life and say, God, thank you. And even if you can't sing, sing a new song. Even if you can't write poetry, write a weird verse of saying, God, I praise you. And finally, the challenge that I'm taking, and I'm going to admit to you, as a human, I'm scared. As a Christian, I'm not. The challenge is, whatever it takes, Lord. I'm praying that for my kids. Whatever it takes, Lord. Draw them to you. I'm praying that for our church. Whatever it takes, Lord. Draw us to you. Not grow us. Not do things that we enjoy or we get all excited about. But draw us to you. Help us be a church that looks like what the body of Christ ought to look like. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Whatever it takes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They're coming back up because when we're talking about it, about whatever it takes and about who our God is. I love this song. It's called My Jesus, and we've sung it several times. We serve a God who can do all things. We serve a Jesus who loves us and makes a way where there is no way. If you're hopeless today because of something in your life, turn your eyes upon Jesus, because he can make rivers in the desert. He can part the seas. He can make a way where there is no way. We're going to stand. And there's men and women around here that love to pray with you. If there's something you need prayer about, the altar's here if you just want to pray quietly. Other than that, sing a new song today about my Jesus and your Jesus.
Are you past the point of weary? Are your burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until your past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about
great to be in the Lord's house. So glad that you were here. Go out and be safe. Be the light of Jesus while you're gone. We'll see you back 2 o'clock next door for our church conference. Grab one of those information sheets or all three of those as you leave. God bless you. Greet those around you. He makes a way where there ain't no